Thank you, Judge. May it please the Court. My name is J.D. Mazur. I represent Thomas Blanchard in his relatively simple FLSA overtime claim that's presented before this Court. We believe summary judgment below was improper based on the paradigm that the Fair Labor Standards Act sets out for evaluation of whether the administrative employee exemption applies. I made inquiry of the 30B6 witness who affirmed, that is the representative of Standard Insurance, who happened to be Mr. Blanchard's direct supervisor as well, and he affirmed that there was no discretion, no administrative role for Mr. Blanchard, and that production was Mr. Blanchard's primary duty. To verify what was said in general by the 30B6 witness, I then proceeded into a step-by-step inquiry, which is recited in the brief, as to various things that were set forth in the job description and otherwise provided to Mr. Blanchard from the Standard Insurance Company to validate, once again, that the prior testimony of the 30B6 witness was accurate and that no administrative exemption could apply under the Fair Labor Standards Act. It was unequivocal that the primary duty was not, the testimony was unequivocal that the primary duty was not administrative. The testimony was unequivocal that the primary duty, what Mr. Blanchard was assigned to produce, had no discretionary decision-making authority whatsoever. And the testimony was unequivocal that the primary duty of Mr. Blanchard was production, not administration. Mr. Blanchard's role at Standard was...
So these various things that he did, like the employees in John Allen, which is a case I think you have to get around, his primary duty was to work with salespeople to promote sales of the products, right? He fielded calls from salespeople, recommended marketing materials and plans for customers, educated Standard salespeople on the special markets retirement plan. He was marketed as Standard's expert. He designed and delivered presentations, training, webinars, seminars. And he had incentive compensation that was based on sales generally, not individual sales. So wasn't he very much like the pharmaceutical representatives in Schaefer or like the individuals in Alden?
With respect to the pharmaceutical representatives in Schaefer, no, is a simple answer to that, because he wasn't a pharmaceutical representative in the first place, and second of all...
Can we look to other cases to see even if the jobs are not identical?
No doubt, but when the circling back around, the circles around the testimony of the 30B6 witness that there was no discretionary decision-making administrative role for Mr. Blanchard at the company. Now, John Alden people, they were recommending specific insurance products sold by John Alden. Standard didn't sell any particular 403B product. What they sold, what Standard sold, was an intermediary role, because the mutual funds that were the underlying product within the 403B plan, whether sold to the Oakland Archdiocese or whether it's sold to the other governmental and not-for-profit entities, was a mutual fund that was administered by somebody else entirely than Standard. The John Alden case we don't think applies either, because what Mr. Blanchard would do was play that sidekick role when somebody was going out. He would go with them and say, here's what a 403B plan looks like. And he'd pull from his virtual library electronic versions of documents that would be the same, whether it was for the Oakland Archdiocese or some other not-for-profit. The perplexing part of the district court's ruling shows that how flawed the decision below actually was, because when he took a little bit of initiative at the Standard to get a payroll aggregator for the Oakland Archdiocese employees, he was slapped with an $18,750 fine. He met all the requirements for a bonus that arose out of the work that year, but the company fined him for exercising even a minimal amount of discretionary decision-making authority
so,
in that case.
But the fact that decisions can be reviewed and even sometimes reversed, that doesn't preclude the exemption.
No doubt. But by the same token, the finding of him in that case was construed by the district court below as evidence that he had discretionary decision-making authority, and I think that's a paradox this court can't get around. Additionally, the district court paid no heed to Mr. Standard's repeated admonitions to the Standard that their disclosure statements were fatally flawed under the SEC guidelines, which require a prospectus, and I know a lot of people get these and they just toss them in the trash, but the prospectuses of the Standard would have shown prospective enrollees that the Standard's cost structure was vastly higher than somebody like Valic, a Standard competitor. And Mr. Blanchard was trying to get Standard to comply with basic fundamental requirements, and the district court said, well, that doesn't matter. He obviously had no discretionary decision-making authority there. We submit. That $18,750 fine, incidentally, was roughly 20% of his pay. And that there was a the other thing that we think is very, very helpful to Mr. Blanchard is that
that was 20% of his base pay.
Right. Right.
Not the percentage that he was to receive the additional compensation based on the number of 403 and 405 cases sold by the salespeople.
Right. Correct. I'm sorry if I didn't clarify that adequately. The other aspect of this is that, you know, Mr. Blanchard was essentially the company's Google at the time. People would say, "What's one of the company's brokers would say, what's a 403B plan proposal look like?" He'd pull it out of the virtual library that he maintained in Indianapolis, which meant he had to be on the job from roughly 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., available with the BlackBerry and all the other electronics, because he was covering the coast-to-coast needs of what are clerical functions, pulling a document out, shipping it off, and maybe putting a different company's name on it, putting the Oakland Archdiocese on it or some other not-for-profit. To be sure, erratically, there was an hour or so he would spend in the course of a year or a week in a year or maybe once a quarter where he would present a webinar. An hour doesn't amount to a primary duty. He might present something at a trade show. He'd be there two hours to a day, once a quarter.
There, with his title, Special Markets Director for the Retirement Plans.
Right. And the title is lofty, there's no doubt. But if we look at the case law, that doesn't amount to a waiver of overtime claims because the district courts are charged with the responsibility of protecting employees' rights under the FLSA in a special way. They can't waive their claims under the FLSA.
Mr. Mazur, you're in your rebuttal time. You're welcome to use it, but just wanted you to know.
I'll take a seat, Judge. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Mr. McLaughlin.
May it please the Court. The district court had the guidance of this court's Schaefer-LaRose decision 1 month before it issued its summary judgment ruling. It was that Schaefer-LaRose decision that cited approvingly the John Alden decision. The district court tailored its analysis and went through a near identical analysis that this court undertook in the Schaefer-LaRose decision to look at precisely what Mr. Blanchard was doing, not some generalization or characterization, as counsel would have us believe, that he was involved in sales. Therefore, it cannot be administrative. The court specifically noted, as Schaefer-LaRose did, that that type of generalization or characterization doesn't answer the question. We look at day-to-day, what was this person doing? What were their duties? And the district court went through a lengthy analysis of each of those using this court's same analysis to look at what were they involved in those administrative functions and did they have that discretion. Factually, the district court noted the duties of Mr. Blanchard are, to use the court's words, strikingly similar to those duties referred to in Schaefer-LaRose and also in the John Alden decision.
Now, counsel emphasizes Standard's 30B6 witness, who was asked about the authority that Blanchard had to decide things in terms of internal operations and answered nothing. So he argues we should give great weight to that.
The analysis is identical to this court's analysis of the pharmaceutical representatives in Schaefer-LaRose. That pharmaceutical representative has zero discretion to waver from the product analysis, what the effects of or side effects are of that pharmaceutical product. They have absolutely no discretion there. However, as this court noted, they have the discretion as to which clients to call upon, when to call upon, precisely which of the marketing materials they will use with that particular client. All of those, this court noted, are discretionary functions. Those same functions were available and were used by Mr. Blanchard. Absolutely acknowledged. He did not have the ultimate authority to decide what precisely will go into our 403B products. He had to get his marketing materials approved, but within that context, he had complete discretion to decide which one should be used with which client. When he presented a webinar or when he presented a seminar, he decided how he would present those materials. He decided when to present those materials. He decided how he would respond to questions. So in all those respects, he is identical in characterization to those pharmaceutical representatives in Schaefer-LaRose. He had that same discretion judgment. He had, the court went through the analysis, and I won't go back through all those duties. Leave it to say that he worked with those salespeople. He was the one, and the DOL has even acknowledged, that promoting the sale of products is an administrative function. And that is precisely what Mr. Blanchard admitted that he had done. He promoted those sales. He did not, there's no argument in this case that he went out and physically made sales. Now, interestingly, counsel refers to him as being a sidekick. If that's how he wanted to refer, he was a very well-paid sidekick. Now, the testimony is not that he went on all sales calls. He would very rarely go on those sales calls. But when he did, he was most notably in a support role. He was there as the 403B expert. He was the person whom the pension consultants, who Mr. Blanchard acknowledges, were indeed the sales force. They were the persons responsible for going out and making those sales, and they did so. But he would give them the information, the interpretation. He would answer their questions. He was not required to call back to his supervisor to say, may I answer it this way, or may I answer the question this way. He simply answered, and he decided how to answer that. With respect to 2 points counsel made, he's referenced this payroll aggregator, and the district court got it right. The fact that you are challenged in your decision does not mean you did not have discretion. Indeed, it would have been simple to say, this wasn't your call. You had no authority to involve a payroll aggregator. He's also mischaracterized slightly what happened. Mr. Blanchard received his $100,000 plus base salary. He would then get an incentive pay based upon the overall market for 30B plans, 403B plans, the market throughout the country. That was calculated based upon how much we took in or expected to take in versus the costs. Well, in this particular instance, there was an additional $18,000 cost. That reduced the benefits, the proceeds we received, and so his profits were reduced similarly. It wasn't a fine. It wasn't a punishment. The formula simply reduced the amount he received. So that's the mischaracterization. But even if it had been a penalty, I mean, Your Honor correctly noted, the fact that I make a bad decision and I'm punished for that decision doesn't suggest in any way that I did not have the discretion to make that decision. I had the discretion to make good decisions and really bad decisions. And it's the right of having that discretion which is key. Finally, there are admissions about there's nothing in the record to quantify how much 1 hour in a rare instance when he made a webinar. He was the special markets director. He decided when to do that. He decided how to do that. While his materials were approved, He was the one who was there. He was the one who could answer questions, and that was not changed. At the end of the day, this court, 1 month before the district court made its decision, issued Schaefer-LaRose. It is on all fours with this case, both on facts and law.
Thank you. How much time? 1 minute.
Thank you, Judge. Mr. McLaughlin, I agree on something, that having the right of having discretion is the key to analysis in this case. I'll point to my brief, page 6. All right. With respect to that general description, what did he decide to do within standard in terms of internal functions and operations during 2010? I don't think Tom decided to do anything. That is not how our organization works, was the response of the company through its 30B6 witness. What would he have had the authority to decide to do? In terms of operation, was the question in response to my question? Yes, in terms of internal operation is what I asked. The answer from the 30B6 witness, unequivocal, nothing. Would that have been true in 2008 and 2009 as well? Yes. Mr. McLaughlin points to Schaefer-LaRose. If he was a sales representative, which he just denied, incidentally, then he wouldn't have been an outside sales representative for Schaefer-LaRose along the lines of Schaefer-LaRose anyway. He would have been an internal sales representative because, as he just told you, he rarely went on outside sales calls. I have nothing further other than to point out that if he was of such consequence, he couldn't have been summarily terminated in the way he was.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The court will take the case under advisement.